We're on the third part of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The first message was about him being right on time. Sometimes we wonder, sometimes we're not sure he sees and knows, but he does. Someone say amen, he does. He's right on time. And the second message was when faith gets real. And we talked about turning a couple of words. Remember? You remember what they were? Instead of seeing the what, seeing who. Moving from what is happening in our circumstances to who is in charge of our lives. The one who's got it in control. And then also moving from can. I know he's somebody who can do this. Martha, yes, I know you can do that. In the last day, you can raise him up. To move from can to will. I know he is going to do this. Our God is good. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He sees you. He knows you. He hears you. He's got his hands on you right now. He said it over and over again, even this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about part three, the last word. Remember, over these last few weeks, this is called also as a subtitle, The Anatomy of a Miracle. Most astounding miracle, one of the most astounding miracles in all the Bible, was the raising of Lazarus. And we'll have Pastor Trask here next week, and then we'll come back to this series again the week following. But the last word, with a show of hands, I want you to be humble and confess. Anybody in this room ever been in an argument with anybody? Some of you still aren't honest. Every hand should go up. I didn't say, how many argued with your spouse this morning? I didn't say that. Hopefully that didn't happen. But have you ever been in an argument and sometimes, come on, you know right along with me, sometimes pride kicks in. You know, we get a little defensive for our position, right? Oh, don't look so holy. Sometimes pride kicks in. And when pride kicks in, you know what happens, don't you? We want the last word. And so your spouse or somebody, whoever you're engaged with in this, pops off their comment. And boy, something inside you just really is frustrated and it's frying because of this. And even if you don't pop back immediately, something in a little while comes back out. Because you got to have the last word. And how many know that when you try this strategy, it really never works? It doesn't stop until somebody stops, pouring fuel on the fire, does it? It doesn't stop. Sometimes it gets a little hard to come down from that ledge. But we know who really gets the last word. Jesus wants to meet with you. Let's go to the scripture, John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is the passage where we are as we take a look at this incredible miracle of Jesus. And this morning we're going to pick up from verses 28 to 31, and we'll do more verses as well. And I only have one of those verses up here, but if you'll see it in your own Bible, use your tablet, your phone. There are Bibles in the back. If you don't have one with you this morning, raise your hand and somebody from Grace Christian Center will get you a copy of the scriptures. Would like you to see it in your own Bible. I don't have every verse up here on the screen. John 11, verses 28 through 31 is your context. And when she had said these things, he's talking about Martha. Remember last week, Martha came to Jesus and she said, you know, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died, right? Remember she said that? And he says, don't you know that I'm the resurrection? And she says, oh yeah, I know in the last days you're going to raise him up. He says, what do you really believe? Remember? What do you really believe here, Martha? And she stops in the pivotal point. She confesses, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're everything. And you can do anything. When she had said these things, she went her way and secretly, reading from the New King James, secretly called Mary her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Verse 29. By the way, how many of you know this morning the teacher is here and is calling your name? As soon as she heard that, meaning Mary, she rose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Interesting. Mary waited, or Jesus waited for Mary to come. Now, word was sent to her, I want to meet with you, but Mary had to make motion, didn't she? Mary had to take some steps. And she came to that same place where Martha met with him. Verse 31, then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Now, I'd like you to think with me just for a moment. I wonder, we don't know for certain, but I wonder what might have been in Mary's heart. I am not critical of Mary here at all, or of any of these people in these passages. I wonder sometimes, maybe like you, what would I have done if I was there, if that was me? What was in her heart? She's hurting. She is hurting. Martha is hurting. But she loves and trusts the Lord. And the word here in the New King James, it says, the teacher. This is a powerful, rich word. The master, the discipler, the teacher, the one who cares for your soul and who you are, the teacher. And by the way, so you know context and what's really going on culturally, this is an extremely unusual word for Mary and Martha to be able to hear for them. Because rabbis wouldn't teach the women. The rabbis would only teach the men. But she says, your teacher, the teacher, wants to meet with you. Mary sat still in the house while Martha went to see him first. Wonder why that is. She was in mourning. Maybe she was upset at Jesus. You know, I mean, you're my best friend here, and your other best friend, you let him die. Maybe she wasn't upset. Maybe she felt like there was nothing else he could do. After all, death was given the last word. It's final. Isn't it? Death was being given the last word, and that simply will not do. Martha went to see Jesus face to face, and Jesus gave his last word on the topic. I am the resurrection and the life, and I will raise him up. But Mary still needed that face to face contact with him. What is it, Lord, you want to do? He says, I got this. What is it you want to do? Now, preciously, friends had gathered. It was only a couple of miles from Jerusalem, and there were a lot of friends that were gathering around, and they were being consoling. They were giving her consolation. And sometimes, church, can you look around at your friends in the church and know that sometimes when friends are hurting, one of the most precious things you can do sometimes is just be with them. Just love them. Console them. By the way, it's not always our place to teach a mourner. Come on, ladies, you can look at me all day long and say, you know, when I get into frustration, despair, discouragement, last thing I want is for my husband to teach me. Come on. Oh, three honest women in the place. Okay, I've heard that before. But God is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter and the healer of broken hearts. We let Him do that. But the consoling crowd is well-meaning, well-intentioned, and sometimes all we can do, and the best we can do, the best is to stand there with a hand on the shoulder and love in our hearts and support and strength in the midst of the heartbreak. This is the point I want to make. The crowd doesn't always have the word of the Lord. Someone say amen. Amen. The crowd doesn't always have the word of the Lord. What did they say? She's going to go to the tomb to weep there. Oh, amazing prophets, aren't you all? I don't think so. It looks to me like the crowd well-meaning, was circumstance-bound. Looking at the what that had occurred, not the who was in charge. Sometimes, church, you got to get alone with Jesus and meet with him face to face to hear what he really is up to. Amen? Amen. Sometimes you got to get alone with God. You got to turn off the TV. You got to turn off the Christian music, even on the radio. Sometimes you got to turn it all down and say, okay, Lord, I've just come to meet you face to face. And he's the one who called for Mary. How many know this morning Jesus is calling for you and me? He wants to look at you face to face and say, son and daughter, I've got this for you. You can hear it through a crowd, but he wants to speak it to you personally. So Martha comes privately, secretly to her and says, Jesus wants to see you. And again, I know what I see. I know what the crowd sees and I know what circumstances say. Come on, every one of you is in tune with what your circumstances are telling you this morning. Some of them are frustrating. Some of them are happy and glad. Some of them are sad and mad and bad. I know what circumstances are saying. They're calling out all day long. You're lost. You can't make it. You don't have enough. You don't have what it takes. This is never going to go right. Circumstances want to yell your name and say you don't have a chance. And Jesus says, come on, come be with me. Shift from what to who? What to who? Now listen, I want to go through carefully a couple of words here, because what we need to believe is the word of the Lord and the report of the Lord. Come on, say the words, the report of the Lord. Say it again, the report of the Lord. In John 11, verses 33 through 40, there's the rest of our scriptures this morning. Verse 33 says, therefore, let's listen carefully to what happens. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, feels the infirmities of his people. Hebrews 4:15 tells us we come to a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus sees you, knows where you're hurting, knows where you're discouraged, knows where you're frustrated. He feels those along with you. And the Bible tells us he groaned in the spirit. And he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? His best friend. The Pharisees and Sadducees a couple of miles away, they want to challenge him and they're after him and they want to put spears in him and they want to kill him and arrest him and kill him in that order. And they want to do away with him. They're jealous of him. They don't like him. And he's always in contest and in battle as he tries simply to help people and speak the word of the Lord and show people that God loves them. And he gets to go to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's house for some fresh time of joy and peace. And his best friend's dead. He says, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Lord, come and see. One of the most important verses in Scripture is next. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Christianity is different than every other religion on the face of this planet. Christianity is all about a personal, intimate relationship with the Son of the Living God who came, who took your sins and mine, who sees exactly where you are and who you are right now. And when you are weeping, he is weeping too. And in the night seasons, when you think no one sees, he is sitting right there with you. He sees, he knows, he cares. Now this word is going to shift a little bit, but I want you to know you have a high priest, I'm going to repeat it, who is touched with the feelings, the anxieties, the concerns, and the depth of your heart. But now, I want you to take a look at what this word means in a more broad way. Listen to the word groaned. It literally means to snort with anger, to have indignation on, to blame, to sigh with chagrin, to enjoin. Jesus was snorting in anger. Do you think he's angry at the people? He's upset at their complete focus on the circumstances, but I believe Jesus is angry at the spirit of death.
Yes.
Because death was conquered in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when you die in the Lord now, when you've surrendered your life, you're not living in eternal death separated from God. You get to go into the presence of Jesus and see Him and live with Him face to face. Heaven and hell is real, and you get to go into heaven and live with Jesus forever. And He's snorting at the spirit of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy and take your life away. Don't you thank God you know Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Personally. Amen. And he's snorting at the devil and the spirit of death. He's troubled. He's stirred. He's agitated at this whole circumstance. Now watch what the crowd says. Remember, one of the points already was, the crowd doesn't always get it right. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. That they got right. But look how it twists and turns so quickly. And some of them said, in the midst of Jesus weeping with grief and heart and then anger at the despair of this death that has taken his friend, comes the charge. Anybody ever feel like you don't do it good enough, can't do it good enough, can't say it good enough? Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, who also have kept this man from dying, you know what's behind that? Death has the final word. And so he's gone. There's nothing you can do now. I wonder if Mary may have been drinking a little from that water. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, snorting, in anger is literally what the Greek word means, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. He's angry at a bound up spirit that only sees circumstance when God is on the scene to do something. Now listen. It is appointed unto men once to die. We're all leaving this place one way or another when the Lord's time comes for us. So that's why you've got to be able to hear the Lord, see Him face to face, know what He wants. Not everybody gets raised from the dead instantly in this life. Don't you wish? How many have loved ones you wish had been raised right back? Sure. But this one, that's what's on God's agenda. So we got to tune into God's agenda here, and we got to hear the report of the Lord. Jesus is angry toward the devil who's a thief, a liar, and a murderer, destroyer. He wants to steal your life. He wants to take it. He wants to deceive. And that spirit of deception, bound in circumstances, has Jesus' people that he loves wrapped up a bit in that as well. And Jesus wants to see you set free. Amen.
Amen.
The devil is throwing everything he can at these believers. The grave, the stone, the cave. Why, the grave, it's the final resting place. Oh, no, it's not. Don't you dare believe it.
Amen.
Eternity, with him or without him, is the final. And Jesus came to bring life eternal. Starts now when you surrender to Jesus. Come on, when's eternal life begin?
Yeah.
Now, when you've surrendered to Jesus. The cave, usually there's only one way in and only one way out. And Jesus is going to reveal the way out. The stone, man's way. Now look, man's way of sealing up death and its stench. Adam and Eve, put on fig leaves after they sinned. Didn't cover too well. God still saw, and it didn't deal with their sin. And we try to just kind of seal that stuff up, put it behind the stone in a cave. And Jesus says, come on, I'm going to deal with this and bring you out and set you free. Anybody ever been bound up in sin? Okay, a few of you. Yeah, sure. Probably everybody in the room. And I'm not asking for specifics right now. Nor am I offering them from me. But we thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for His grace. What do you see? What report do you believe? Turn to each other and ask, what report do you believe? What do you see? Whose report do you believe? Church, I believe Jesus' report. Come on, I said, I believe Jesus' report. I believe the report of Jesus. And we need to encourage each other. When we're out there during the week, and I see you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when I see you and you see me, we need to encourage each other. Come on, let's believe the report of the Lord. God's got good things in mind for you. Let's believe a different report. He knows. He's God. He's in charge. Let's report and believe His report. Jesus didn't turn to Mary and Martha and chide them, but He led them to a new day. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, who's having a bit of a time, just like we do, having a bit of a time shifting from the circumstances to the who, from the what to the who, she says, Lord, by this time there's a stench. Come on, anybody can say in your life when you've been in sin, there's a stench to that thing. And I hope nobody sees, I'm going to keep it right behind this big old stone. And Jesus said, come on, honey, I see the whole thing. But Lord, you can't take care of the stench. Death has the final word. It's a death process, the sin. It's got the final word, it stinks, and I just want to keep it hidden. And Jesus said, let me do something different. Let me do something different. I'm the who, not the what. God gets the last word always. Come on, say it with me. God gets the last word always. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, I honestly know, my friends in this church, every one of us here want our lives to reflect the glory of God. We want to bring Him glory. We want to reflect His glory. We want to strengthen each other in the presence of Jesus. And we want to bring resurrection life. We want to lay hands on people and have the sick recovered. And we want to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see healing, and we want to see salvations, and we want to see revival, and we want to see government changed in the name of Jesus. And we want to see a Congress who believes the Bible is the word of truth, who bows down before Him. We want to see a Supreme Court that doesn't stand in the stench of their own arrogance, but comes down on their knees and says, oh God, You're in charge. Let us do righteousness in our land. We want to see God move from one end of our country to the other. We want to see revival, don't we, church? We want to see the glory of God. We want to see Your glory, God. So He says, a few steps between now and there. Let's get you from the what to the who. Let's believe the report of the Lord. And let's understand that when we want to say, yeah, but, Jesus says, there is no yeah, but. God gets the last word. How often?
Always.
Mary, do you believe? Church, do we believe Jesus?
Yes.
12 believers turned their world upside down. But they needed to transition from being listeners to activated hearers and doers of His word. Active believers. What does a believer do? Lets God always have His last word. And that's the report we believe. Not your circumstances, not your situation. Jesus, what do you say? Acts 27:25. Therefore, take heart, men. I believe God, it will be just as it was told me. The apostle Paul's been arrested. The Lord comes to him and says, you got to go to Rome and preach the gospel. Other people may think his life's over. They're going to take his head from him. And Paul says, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to go to Rome. Then huge storm, and they fight the storm for what? About 2 weeks, and they throw out all the food, and then finally one person is saying on the ship, we are so tossed and turned by the circumstance of our life that kill all the prisoners, and we got to get rid of all this stuff, and it's been 2 weeks of not eating, and 2 weeks of agitation, and 2 weeks of the night season struggling and fighting with the circumstance of life, and Paul then stands up and says, hey, it's cool, I know God just spoke to me. And he says, and he told me, nobody's going to lose their life. And in fact, grabs a hunk of bread and says, here, you should all eat some. It's not bad. It's good stuff. Why? Because he believed God. Yeah. He says, I believe the report of the Lord. I believe it shall be as it was told me. Say that with me. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Paul had moved from what to who? It's a prisoner who knows he's totally free in Jesus Christ. The storm was lying in the face of God's word. Circumstances was trying. We're trying to have the last word. But let God be true and every man a liar. Instead of seeing the storm and the raging sea, the horrible difficulty, they saw Paul who stood in peace. He said, no, it looks bad, men and women. Maybe not too many women on board. I know it looks bad, but God's in charge. Three men were getting ready to be thrown into a furnace. He said, you don't bow down, we're going to take your life. And they say, you know what? I know it looks bad. And our God, he's going to help us. But guess what, King? Even if he doesn't deliver us from this fire, we're not going to bow down to you. We bow down to him. God's in control. So let's be like Paul. Set our hearts and minds on him. Set your affection, Colossians says, on things above, not on things on this earth. Let's believe God's report. Turn to each other and say, come on, believe God's report. Come on, say it. Go ahead, say it to somebody else. Come on, let's believe God's report. Has Jesus told you you're lost, it's over, there's no help for you? Is that Jesus' word to you? No, that's the devil. That's not God. When we argue, each one trying to have the last word, that's not a healing strategy. Healing strategy is God gets the last word. Amen. One of the most important principles of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is that we can cooperate with him and truly be a believer. Let me repeat how this morning. Remember, Jesus wants to meet with you and me face to face. Secondly, choose, make a choice. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And thirdly, make sure in your life that God gets the last word always. Stand with me, would you? Amen, Lord. He said to me last night, I got this. And I know that wasn't just for me. I believe that's the heart of the Lord for his people. Now, if you're here this morning and you need to know that through the midst of your agitation, Jesus is there. He is speaking it clearly and loudly to you this morning. I got this. I got this. So let's choose. I will ride along with you to see him face to face, to believe his report, and let his word be the last word. Father, we thank you that you're the God who does all things well. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God we trust. And as we begin, we're going to end knowing that forever our God is faithful. Forever. Not just part-time, not just when we're good enough, but based on your grace and in your mercy, based on your word and what you do, forever, when we've surrendered to you, forever, Lord, you are faithful. Come on, forever, Lord, you are faithful. Say it again, forever, Lord, you are faithful. And Lord, we believe that you are faithful forever. We believe that you are strong forever. We believe your report is the truth forever. And we believe, Lord, as we have surrendered our lives to you, Jesus, that you're the one whose report we can believe. We are in your hands. We are not bound by the circumstances of life, but we have and are held by the God who is in charge of life. And we give you our praise and our thanks this morning. Strengthen your people as they go this day to be built up, encouraged in their faith, knowing, Lord, even as Martha and Mary both became astounded and delighted at the miracle you performed for Lazarus, you transitioned their lives, and you're doing the same for us. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the day to do it. If you have already done that, this is the life and the day to go out in celebration of the goodness of God. Maybe there's some areas where you know God's at work. You just let him work. And grab somebody if you need somebody to pray with you, because we're honored to pray with you and believe God for you, because he is so, so good. You believe that, church?
Yes.
He says, I got this. Raise your hands for the blessing, would you please? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen.